Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Brenda, love Rod Stewart. There you have, beautiful rendition. It is a New Year's Eve edition of Wednesday Midday. Mark Malusis with you. This show brought to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. Let's head down to South Beach. Beautiful this time of the year. A buddy of mine, Ralph Russo, joins me. Senior college sports writer for The Athletic. Obviously, all into the college football. Playoffs get going tonight. And tomorrow afternoon, New Year's Day, and Ralph joins me now. Ralph, first and foremost, Happy New Year early, a little bit to you and your family, and always great chat with you, brother.
Yeah, belated Merry Christmas to you and the Malusis clan, and I hope you guys have a great New Year. It's football season, though. Yeah, we're in the heart of it for college football right now, and I'm here waiting on the Orange Bowl tomorrow, the second of four quarterfinals, with the first one tonight, Miami, Ohio State.
Yeah, let's go in order here, Ralph, and get your thoughts. I want to ask you about Marcus Freeman as well toward the tail end of the conversation, too, as he told the NFL, thanks, but no thanks, staying at Notre Dame. How good does Beck need to be tonight for Miami to keep that game close against Ohio State?
Yeah, I think really, really good. Sort of top of his game, good. Ohio State's defense is the best defense Miami will have faced. Texas A&M is a pretty good defense. But as Miami showed, like, you can get some things in the running game against Texas A&M, as they beat the Aggies last week in College Station. Like, I don't think that's going to be there against Ohio State. So it's going to be a lot more pressure on Beck to really step up and maybe carry a little bit more of the load of the offense. And he's pretty good. Like, he might not be a first overall draft pick type quarterback, but he's a pretty good quarterback. He's almost all of his interceptions came in just two games this year, but this is a different beast of an Ohio State defense, and they're going to put some pressure on him, and they're going to, put a lot of pressure on his receivers. They had a good secondary as well. I just think he needs to play. That doesn't mean he needs to throw for 300 yards, but he needs to have maybe his most efficient and effective game of the season.
And not turn the football over. A lot of people have made the argument when you're looking at the Canes tonight, and you're going to have Irvin and everybody. It's great that Miami's back on this kind of level. It really is. It makes college football, that much better. But when you look at the Canes defensively tonight, a lot of people have made the argument their front seven, specifically that defensive line, they got to have themselves a game, or they will, and that defense will keep them in the game against Ohio State. You agree or disagree, Ralph?
Yeah, I think that is the place where Miami can look at Ohio State and say, we are as good as these guys, right? I think if you look at the one matchup where I think you might even give the advantage to Miami is Miami's defensive line against Ohio State's offensive line. Ohio State's offensive line has been good, but I think that Miami's defensive line probably has four NFL guys, and straight across the board, especially with Reuben Bain, who's going to be a very high NFL draft pick, that's a place. If you go back to the Ohio State game against Indiana, they gave up five sacks in that game. That's by far the best defense and a really, you know, creative front four that Indiana throws at you. That's the place where Miami has to look at it and say, I think that's where we have the advantage. I think that's the place where we can make some hay, is putting pressure on Saiyan.
Ralph, when you look at this matchup tonight, do you think this is a you know, one score game fourth quarter? A lot of people look at it, despite their Big Ten championship game performance, that Ohio State is clearly the team to beat moving forward here. How do you look at the way that this game plays out this evening?
Yeah, it's a big number, right? It's about a 9.5, and that seems like a lot. I find myself thinking like this is not going to be like not that Ohio State will blow out Miami, but if Miami had such a hard time, I think they're just limited offensively. I don't think they're bad offensively. I just think that there's only so many ways that they can beat you. You know, Beck doesn't run. Beyond Malachi Toney, the great freshman, they are okay at receiver, and they force a lot of balls to Toney in a lot of different ways. But I just think they're a little limited, and that strikes me as the type of game where, again, you know, I don't think Ohio State's going to blow them out, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was a 10 to 14 point game in the fourth quarter, and Ohio State is more like nursing a lead rather than sort of, you know, desperately trying to hold on to a lead.
All right, let's get to the game. Early game tomorrow, noon kickoff. You'll be in attendance. We're chatting with Ralph Russo, covers college sports, college football for The Athletic, and does a fantastic job. You'll be there tomorrow down there at Hard Rock Stadium for this one. Oregon and Texas Tech. Red Raiders, if you have not been paying attention, really good defense. Texas Tech, you know, one loss on the season. They've had a really good year. And Oregon obviously has developed into this national brand. Jet fans are going to be paying attention because of their quarterback, you know, when you look at Dante Moore. But what about Oregon and Texas Tech early tomorrow down in Miami?
Yeah, I think it might end up being the smallest spread out of all the four games, and I think it probably will likely be the most competitive. As you said, like, Texas Tech has this like crazy good defensive line. David Bailey is a transfer from Stanford. They went heavy in the transfer portal. They built a lot of this team by spending wisely in the transfer portal. David Bailey is sort of the lead guy there, an edge rusher. Again, probably a first round draft pick, had about 14 sacks. I think that they're hoping to get a lot of pressure on Dante Moore. I think the one thing to keep in mind on Texas Tech, they have some problems scoring in the red zone. So I wonder if their inability to get sevens and settle for threes ends up being a little bit of the difference in this game. And you're right, Dante Moore has become, I think he has the potential to be the most interesting to win tomorrow over the month, right? I think there's still some questions.
I think we just lost Ralph there. Ray, see if you can get Ralph. Oh, he's back in. I don't know. See if we can fix up the...
Hey, guys, sorry. I'm so sorry if you lost me there for a second.
No, we got you back. Go ahead, Ralph.
Okay. Yeah. What I was just going to say is, like, I think Dante Moore is probably ends up being like maybe the most interesting figure of this playoff if Oregon does continue on and win some games, right? Because I don't think it's guaranteed that he's coming back. Or that he's heading to the NFL. I do think there's a possibility that if he goes out early here, I think the plan for him originally when he got to Oregon was, hey, I'm going to be here for two seasons. That'll be good for my development. But he has gotten very good very fast, and I could see him staying if maybe they get knocked out tomorrow. And I could see him leaving and being a high draft pick if they were to make a long run here.
You think he's as good of a prospect for the NFL as Mendoza with Indiana, Ralph?
I think he's probably got a better, higher overall ceiling. I think he's probably just as a raw talent, a better player. Mendoza's played a lot more ball. It goes back to just what, you know, kind of what I referred to before. I think Mendoza benefited from 4 years of development in college, and I think with Moore being 1 year as a starter at Oregon, I think there might be some pause as to like, hey, maybe I'd be better off going back for another year. But the thing is, his stock is rising. So, it's a little hard to maybe sign up for another year of college if you think he can be the number one draft pick overall.
When you look at that matchup, before we get to Alabama, Indiana, what do you think ends up being the determining factor between the Ducks and Red Raiders?
Yeah, can Texas Tech score touchdowns in the red zone as opposed to kicking field goals? That's been a problem for, I don't know if you guys lost me when I said that, but that's been a problem for them all year long. And I just don't know if, as good as their defense is, like, to expect them to hold Oregon under, let's say, 24 might be a bit much, right? So if you're going to be in a game where the score is going to be in the 20s for both sides, if you're kicking field goals while the other team's scoring touchdowns, that's going to be an issue. And again, for Texas Tech, that red zone offense, creating touchdowns as opposed to settling for field goals has been an issue all year.
Next game, Rose Bowl, Alabama, Indiana tomorrow afternoon. No better setting for a football game, regardless, college, NFL, doesn't matter. Pasadena, California, with the sun setting in the distance. I wish Keith Jackson was still doing the game. but when you look at this, Cignetti's done a wonderful job with the Hoosiers. Obviously, the number one seed coming into it, undefeated Big Ten champs, Mendoza, Heisman Trophy winner. When you look at the Crimson Tide, are people sleeping on Alabama a little bit? With them potentially getting seven, playing within that number against Indiana tomorrow?
The funny thing is, Mark, I actually think that the reason why the spread is as small as it is, even though it's only seven,
is because it's
Bama. The helmets. Yeah. I think if you had just taken the helmets off these two teams and put just the resumes side by side, Indiana might be closer to a 10-point favorite. They have just simply played at a much higher level than Alabama has all season. Now, that said, Alabama's roster is built a lot more like Oregon and Ohio State, right? So they have the athletes to compete against anybody in the country. It's just a matter of, hey, are they developed and are they playing as well? They haven't played like Oregon and Ohio State, right? They played some really poor games. They can't run the ball. But I don't think athletically Alabama will always have a chance to be in the game.
Where is Simpson health-wise going into tomorrow afternoon?
What they'll tell you is he's had some time off, so it's about as good as it's been for a while. He has been sort of had this nagging back thing most of the back half of the year. It's football, Mark. If you've got a back injury, it's probably not going away, right? They just played Oklahoma, and he got sacked four times in that game. I think it probably limits him a little bit in terms of getting out of trouble. He needs to get rid of the ball a little faster. He's not the most mobile guy, but he's also not a statue back there. He has seemed a little less mobile, and the fact of the matter is Indiana gets after you, and I think that's the biggest issue, right? Can Alabama figure out a way? They don't run the ball well at all. Can they figure out a way to protect Simpson, keep him upright? Because here's a number for you. Ohio State only gave up, I believe it was, 11 sacks all season. Five of them came against Indiana. I believe Oregon only gave up 14 sacks all season, and six of them came against Indiana.
That's a lot.
Indiana really gets after you, even with teams that protect the quarterback well, and that hasn't been a strength for Alabama.
When you look at it, just one on Indiana here, because Cignetti's done a wonderful job with that program, and people are looking around the country, just why not us? And it's, we understand today's day and age of NIL, transfer portal, how much money you have to work with here. What has separated Cignetti in the job that he's done at Indiana, Ralph?
I think it part of it is the investment. I think what really helped and was sort of the big breakthrough there, and this is not to diminish him as a coach. He was able to, because of the way the rules are set up now, bring a big chunk of his JMU players, James Madison players, with him from Indiana to last year's team, and there's still a bunch of them on the team this year. And it's not just that he brought good players with him. When you do that, you bring your culture. You bring guys who understand what they want, what is expected of them, and what is expected to the coaching staff. So it helps you then those guys immediately become leaders on your team and help the new guys, the guys who are new to the coach, understand, oh, this is what he means when he says this. This is the scheme. This is how you run this drill. Oh, if coach chews you out, don't worry. He'll be okay tomorrow, right? Like, it's such a huge deal to be able to bring part of your team with you to implement your culture. And I think that helped rocket boost the build at Indiana.
All right, to the Sugar Bowl tomorrow night. Going to be a fun one. SEC matchup. We saw it in the regular season. Ole Miss and Georgia, obviously. Kiffin down at LSU running that team. A lot of his former DC is now the head coach at Ole Miss. When you look at Georgia and Kirby Smart, 6 points is the spread between the two teams. A lot of people rooting for Ole Miss based on the way that, you know, Kiffin jumped programs and left for LSU. What about Ole Miss and Georgia again?
Yeah, they have become a little bit of America's team, right? Because it's easy. I think, A, it's easy to root against Lane Kiffin. And I think, like, being the team that Lane Kiffin left at the altar, I think a lot of folks have rallied around them. Here's the thing I would it was a great regular season game, right? Georgia Ole Miss was one of the better games of the SEC season. Georgia scored the last 17 points of the game, shut out Ole Miss in the fourth quarter, and end up with a great come from behind. That second half for Georgia was sort of a pivot point on their season defensively. They were struggling early on. Game against Tennessee didn't play very well. Played a bad half against Alabama defensively. Since that point of the season where they gave up 5 touchdowns the first time Ole Miss touched the ball and then shut Ole Miss down the rest of the game, they have been a very, very different team. They've outscored their opponents by about 120 points, and that mostly they've been a very different defense. They've gotten a lot more sound. I think Georgia's going to win it all. Like, I picked Georgia to win the whole thing. Yeah, I picked them to win the whole thing at the start of the playoffs. I think that they have separated. Ole Miss is still a very good team, very good offensive team, but I think Georgia has separated itself from that point of the season going forward, and I think they win this game fairly comfortably against an Ole Miss defense that is okay. They're a much better offensive team, but really that Ole Miss game, something clicked in the second half for Georgia's defense, and they've been a very different defensive team since.
We're chatting with Ralph Russo. He's down in Miami to take in the early game tomorrow, the Orange Bowl between Texas Tech and Oregon. Ralph does a great job for The Athletic. Ralph, 2 more before I let you go, and appreciate all the time today. Number one, how do you rectify the bowl system here in terms of we're all into college football playoffs? They're great. I mean, the opening round needs to be in a little bit of adjustment here. But these other bowl games have been a disaster, whether it be guys opting out, the transfer portal January 2nd. You have no idea who's playing, who's not. Can you potentially rectify the rest of these bowl games outside of the college football playoffs?
Mark, I don't think it's salvageable in the way we would, maybe you guys our age would like it to be. Like, in other words, it's never going back to the way it used to be. So, okay, so how do you make it just better than it is now? First of all, I think the playoff might expand, which only further degrades the bowl system, the bowls, right? Because now you have more teams in the playoff, more teams focused on being in the playoff, and more teams that will show up to bowl games, either A, opt out of them altogether, or show up to bowl games with a skeleton roster. I think maybe you can make it a little better. Hey, listen, we're going to make sure you're guaranteed these guys a little bowl bonus. Right now, some of their contracts with their schools, their NIL deals, have that type of money baked in. But maybe the bowls can say, hey, you know, if you come to this game, you know, here's $1 million. You can cut it between the winner, you know, and then here's $500,000 for the loser or something. It goes directly to the players. Maybe that motivates guys to play in the games a little more. But I don't know if there is a really good solution. You probably need to create a little bit more of a distinguished postseason and offseason for college football. The fact that college football's offseason bleeds into its postseason is a big problem. Like, maybe you could kick the portal back into the spring. That might help things a little bit. You maybe have coaches who hang around a little longer. So I don't think there's a good fix for this. I think really the more realistic fix is you expand the playoff a little more, put more teams that would have been in bowl games, take those bowl games, make them playoff games. And because it's just we're never going back to the way it used to be, Mark.
Unfortunately. I love the playoffs. I just the rest of these games are terrible. All right, Ralph, last one, Freeman deciding to stay at Notre Dame. We know that there was interest from the Giants. We know that there was some interest amongst other NFL teams. I think at some point in time he's going to coach in the National Football League. I don't think this is going to be Shaw at Stanford, who said thanks, but no thanks, and never coached in the NFL, right? I think at some point, why do you think Freeman decided to stay at Notre Dame? Job unfinished? I understand he got a new contract. I get that, but still.
Yeah, so I think a little bit of job unfinished. They just signed maybe the best recruiting class they've ever had at Notre Dame, and that's saying, well, at least in within the years, like the last 20 years, right, when we've been ranking these recruiting classes, they signed like 4, 5, 5 stars. So I think he understands that right now it's a job's not finished, but he also thinks that like they might be on the upswing here at Notre Dame. Like there's a real good chance that the way college football has morphed and as much as Notre Dame is invested, that they could win a national championship and he's set up to be good. I also think that his job right now at Notre Dame allows him to be very picky if he does want to enter the NFL. Like if I do want to go try the NFL, and at this point, like, I don't think there's another college job that would interest him. Maybe Ohio State. He's an Ohio State guy. So yep. Maybe if Ryan Day left, maybe he would go to Ohio State. Like, I just also think that he's so well set up at Notre Dame. It allows him to say, okay, what pro job, if I am interested in the pros, is going to set me up for success, that I'm not going to be stepping into a situation where in 3 years I'm fired and I'm going back to the NFL, I'm going back to college. So it allows him to be picky. Notre Dame still seems to be on an upward trajectory. I also think there's a little bit of this. Like, I think the NFL is very interested in him. I am wondering just how interested, right? Are they gauging him as a future possible candidate? Or how many teams really want him to be there right now? He's a young guy. So I just think that like it was a good setting for him to get to know some NFL teams and from NFL teams to get to know him.
Gotcha. Ralph, you're the best. Enjoy South Beach. It's like 25 degrees up here in the Northeast. I know it's only in the 60s down there.
Just so you know, it's not that warm down here. Like, I have a sweatshirt on. I know it's better than it is. It's definitely much nicer than it is in New York City right now. But I was telling my wife, like, I'm not going in the pool. Like, it's kind of chilly down here.
Well, it's a tough sell. I can understand that. When your wife's in the Northeast and it's 20 degrees and you're like, listen, it's not that nice down in Florida right now.
Right.
It's only 60s. I'm wearing a light sweater. That's a tough sell, Ralph. I'll tell you, that's a tough sell.
Yeah, you got to do anything you can, right? Like, yeah, when you're FaceTime or they see palm trees in the back, it's a little tough when, like, you know, they're shoveling snow, right?
Well, no doubt. Well, Ralph, enjoy Oregon, Texas Tech tomorrow. Appreciate it. Love your work with The Athletic, and thanks again for the time, man.
Thanks very much. Happy New Year, Moose.
You got it. You as well. To you and your family. Ralph's the best. I mean, he just is. Breaking down college football, giving you a good feel of the next four games as the college football playoffs begin tonight in earnest once again with Ohio State and Miami. Who's Hot in Football is sponsored by Petro Home Services. Derrick Henry hot. He rushed for 216 yards, 36 carries, 4 touchdowns, and a win over Green Bay Saturday night. Want to save on heating costs? Go with Petro. Switch now and get $125 free heating oil with reliable delivery in any weather and live 24/7 service. Count on your local HVAC pros at Petro to stay warm and save this winter. Go to Petro.com now to get $125 free heating oil or call 1-888-PETRO02 today. Use propane. Ask about our special offers. Propane not available in all areas.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Announced yesterday that Eli Manning is amongst 15 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2026 after the quote-unquote first-year snub a year ago. And, you know, you've heard my comments talking about the Hall of Fame before, and you know, the discernible difference and where, and I think baseball is treated a little bit different than the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm not going to come on the airwaves today and tell you that Eli Manning is not a Hall of Famer. I think he will get in this year. But I also think that there was great debate a year ago about Eli Manning's, and I understand it's tough in this marketplace to go through that debate about Eli. And, you know, I was on the airwaves and covered really the entirety of his career here with the New York Giants. I have great respect for the fact that, you know, Eli Manning had 210 consecutive starts from 2004 through 2017 and showed you remarkable toughness. Understand that he went through, you know, the great run in 2007, which for my money, I think is as good of a run as any team has ever had winning a Super Bowl. Now, that team was not just defined by Eli Manning. That team was defined by the pass rush up front. But to go on the road in Tampa, go on the road in Dallas, to go on the road in Green Bay, and then to beat the previously undefeated New England Patriots in Glendale, Arizona, I ask you for a team that's had a better run in winning a Super Bowl than that year with the New York Giants. Understand the great pass that he had to Mario Manningham in 2011 Super Bowl against the Indianapolis in Indianapolis against the New England Patriots down the left sideline. Great catch by Manningham. An unbelievable pressure throw by Eli Manning. The fact that, you know, Manning and the Giants were 2-0 and Coughlin were 2-0 against you know, Brady, Belichick and the New England Patriots, and obviously football's ultimate game, the Super Bowl. With all that being said, I didn't think Eli Manning was a first ballot Hall of Famer. And that was more, and do I think he was a Hall of Famer? Yes. And I've said it before. I do think there's a distinction. Now, people can go out there and say, well, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. I think first ballot Hall of Famers are without a shadow of a doubt. With no doubt. No doubt whatsoever. You are, you know, you watch the career, you know, hands down. You were one of the best to ever play the position. I do think Eli's one of the, you know, one of the most durable quarterbacks you've ever seen. His ability to go out there, rise up, and pressurize spots. I just didn't think he would get in on the first ballot. Do I think he'll get in this year? I do. Do I think Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer? I do. Do I think the knocks against Eli Manning? I think there are people that look at Eli Manning outside the New York marketplace and look at his career and look at the fact that, you know, he had a, you know, despite had an 8-4 playoff record, including those two Super Bowl runs, that he had a 500 regular season record at 117-117. See, the amazing thing when you look at Eli and the discernible difference, and we had conversations we used to when both Eli and Peyton were in their heydays in the National Football League. You know, Peyton Manning, in terms of his impact on the position, unquestioned. Like, there might not be a greater regular season quarterback that you'll ever see than Peyton Manning in his prime. What he was able to do, calling the game at the line of scrimmage, the decided edge that he gave the Indianapolis Colts, the consistency that he was able to play at, the ability to go out there and orchestrate that offense. And it wasn't just him. He had obviously playmakers around him as well, including guys like Marvin Harrison and obviously Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark, and everything that goes along with it, Saturday at center. I mean, but Peyton Manning was able to play that position at a remarkable level. The knock on Peyton Manning when he got to the playoffs was he was not able to take his game to another level. See, Eli Manning in the regular season at times was remarkably inconsistent, showed you great toughness, and there were failures around him, but we're just judging him based on the quarterback. If we're going to give the quarterback all the kind of, you know, the accolades and being the most important position in all of professional sports, it is, right? So you're going to take the credit and you're going to also take the blame. He was not as consistent as his brother in the regular season, but the difference between the two brothers is this, is that Eli Manning was able to take his game to another level and showed you different facets to that game as well, to another level when it came to the football playoffs. You know, and two completely different, the toughness that he showed in that NFC Championship game against the San Francisco 49ers, the amount of hits that he took that game, and mind you, he was not a dual threat quarterback. He was a pure pocket passer, had little to no speed, had little to no foot speed, but he showed you remarkable toughness. The fact that he played 210 consecutive starts in the National Football League, remarkable. He's a Hall of Famer, and I think he's going to get in this year. I think he handled the quote-unquote snub from a year ago with nothing but grace, class, and the way that he handled everything that he did here in New York with the Giants. And he represented the Giants on the field and off the field very, very classy, and he is defined by those two Super Bowl runs, and I think he's a Hall of Famer. I just didn't think he was going to get in on the first ballot. I do think he'll get in this year, though, and I'd be surprised if he didn't. Nick in the Bronx is up next in the fam. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, Moose?
How you doing, Nick? What's on your mind, buddy?
Now you got something on my mind. You think Kiki's a Hall of Famer?
Do I think Tiki's a Hall of Famer? I think it's close. I think he's on the outside looking in. I think he's an all-time great Giant. I don't know if he's necessarily a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
You got to look at his stats a little bit closer. I think he really matches up. But that wasn't my point. You just got me talking on something else.
No, I got you.
You make it home okay Friday night during the storm?
It took me 2 hours. But I did on Friday. Yes.
I'm really starting to agree with you on Glenn. I don't want to say it. You know, I'm one of those dumb Jet fans that's always hopeful at the beginning of the season, but there's just too many things. You know, from the field signing, which, whatever, I had hope for that, but seeing him play in person, honestly not paying attention to him, he's not an NFL quarterback. And then, you know, signing Jamie Sherwood bothered me in the offseason because I didn't think he was good. And, you know, Cisco was another guy that they signed them. So, like, who do you blame for that? Is it Muji or is it Glenn? But I've seen no growth from this team, you know?
No, the argument against it is going to be there's so many guys that are not a part of it now that they were there. Their turnover in the roster. Well, they've made the decision within the organization, Nick. I also, when you, and thanks a lot for the call, and good talking point about Tiki. We'll get into more of that a little bit in a little bit. But when you look at Glenn, does he have a head coach give you a discernible advantage? Like Harbaugh does, Peyton does, Reed does, And I understand you're looking at the cream of the crop. You know, I would mention, I think Harbaugh for the majority of his career with Baltimore has. McVay has with the Rams. I think you've seen it with McDonald. I think you've seen it, obviously, with Tomlin in Pittsburgh. At times, you've even seen it with Stefanski with the Cleveland Browns. You really have. Have you? Now, you're going to say, well, it's only been 1 year. You know, we haven't even gotten through 17 games. But some of the stuff that you've seen here from the Jets doesn't exactly lead you to believe that, unless he has some great, you know, learning lesson during the course of the offseason from Aaron Glenn. And maybe he does. Maybe you look at it and say, well, you know, it's going to be discernibly different. Or you're going to say, well, the quarterback situation is going to be significantly improved in 2026. That's going to make everyone look a lot better. I don't think the staff is particularly good either. I really don't. And the stuff that you've gotten over the last 48, 72 hours lead you to have less and less confidence in this coaching staff and the head coach moving forward. Let's head out to Joe in Freeport. It's up next to the fan. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Mark, earlier you were talking about your boys and pizza and cookies. Did you say you had to take the dog out for a walk?
Yeah, I walked the dog. Yeah, no doubt.
Mark, you have a house, don't you?
I do.
And is this your first dog?
My first dog of my life. My first dog is a family pet, yes. My wife is not a dog lover. Mark, she's great with Chip. Chip is great.
You need to create a pen or train your dog to go in the same spot all the time, and you don't need to walk him. You let him out in the rain, the cold, the snow, whatever. I've had three dogs in 43 years of marriage. Never have I walked the dog. I mean, only like if I wanted to like take a stroll would I take the dog. But for the dog to relieve himself, he always went to the pen.
Yeah, we had a trainer. The Chip's been trained. We had to send him away for a while. And then he came back, and he was a different dog. He was very rampunctious. And he's a leaper, right? So because he's a golden doodle, right? So he likes to leap. He likes to jump. And he's very friendly. And he's very patient with the kids. We had a trainer talk about that, the one spot, find an area, walk the dog. I like taking the dog for a walk. He likes to see other dogs. He likes to go out there. He feels he got a little extra spring to his step. That doesn't bother me. Plus, you get a little peace of mind. You know, you really do. You step outside. You look up at the stars. You even feel the cold air. All those kind of things. So it's a little bit of it helps him and it helps me. So I don't mind taking the dog out. I understand you could do the electric fence. The problem with that, or you could do the fence. The problem with that is you have to clean up.
Like,
you know, the number two doesn't go anywhere. It stays there. And the last thing you want to do is step into it. Because then if you step on it, then you're cleaning your shoes. So you got to make sure. That's why you bring the dog. So, you know, people can let them out in the backyard and have the electrified fence and or have a pen or do that. You have to clean up after the dog, too. You can't leave it out there.
Oh. Well, you got to clean up when you walk it, right?
No doubt. Yes, of course I do.
So either way, I got a quick question about sports in general.
Sure.
I think the powers that be are ruining, they've already ruined basketball, but I think they're ruining baseball and football. I mean, the push, you never, an offensive player could never push another offensive player forward. And all of a sudden, a couple of years ago, it's allowed. How come?
Well, it's more of a rugby play than anything else. I mean, they've adjusted the rules, but why does one team able to do it so much better than everybody else?
Well, that's not here nor there. There's so many other things wrong with football. They keep changing. It's not the same game as it used to be. You used to have to get into the end zone for touchdowns. Now you wave the ball over the line or touch the cone at the pylon, and it's a touchdown.
Yeah, because the goal line.
You used to mark the ball where your knee went down, not where you stretched the ball out and your knee went down.
Well, you used to mark the ball where, when your knee was down, where was the ball when your knee went down? So whether you're stretching it out or not, I don't know if that is... One has everything to do with the other. I think we're in agreement on the second one. Yes, they've adjusted the rules over the course of time. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I really don't have any issue with the tush-push. I know it bothers a lot of people, and maybe the Green Bay Packers will get their wish and it'll be stricken from the NFL after the season does come to an end. The Philadelphia Eagles, speaking of the tush-push, because it makes you think about the Philadelphia Eagles, they're starting to find themselves with that defense. There's no question about it. Offensively, I mean, that is a work in progress, especially that passing game. But defensively, they have found it, especially getting Jalen Carter back this past Sunday as they did, coming off getting the injections in both shoulders. Let's head out to Manhattan. It's Ralph. It's the fan. What's going on, Ralph?
Some of my best times were spent walking the dog. You know, you meet other people, you talk to other people, you get some exercise
plus,
for God's sake.
I mean, I don't want the dog to just see house in the backyard. You want the dog to go out there and feel his oats a little bit, get a little spring in his step, go out there, see other dogs.
Hey, the last caller sounded so spoiled. They send the dog to the pen. That's ridiculous. Come on now. But you know, I'll tell you, the fact that Eli is, you know, we have a question about him is very unique. This guy is probably different than any other quarterback that's ever played the game. He was very mediocre during regular season. I mean, maybe a little bit better, but not much. And he just rose to the occasion every time, almost every time, when he was put in this crucial situation. And he did virtually the impossible. He beat New England when no one thought it was possible. He's so durable. And he's so built in such a way, Mark, you know, he's not overly muscular. He's got that wiry kind of body. He would get knocked around sometimes, Mark. He'd get knocked on his can, and I'd say, he'll never get up from this. And he just gets right up, shrugs his shoulders, goes back to the huddle. The guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And you know something? I used to think differently. I used to look at sheer statistics during the regular season and say to myself, well, maybe they're right. They're not putting him in. Maybe they would be right. But, you know, when I look at it, I reflect on it. The guy deserves the Hall of Fame and all the accolades.
Ralph, I agree with you. I just didn't think he was going to get in on the first ballot. And I might be in the minority on that. It doesn't, you know, but I didn't think he was without a shadow of a doubt that he was going to be a Hall of Famer. And I think that honor is bestowed upon those guys. That there is no great debate, that you watch their careers and you say, undoubtedly, they were one of the best to ever do it. Like, and I think Eli had some great moments, great runs. I'd make the argument, Ralph, and when I've interviewed Justin Tuck, the best player on the field that day out in Glendale, Arizona, was Justin Tuck. It was not Eli Manning.
Well, you make a great point because we forget about that because Eli's playing that position and we focus on him.
Well, that has become a quarterback-driven award. I'm not taking it. Listen, Eli eluded the pass rush, threw it up to Tyree, made an unbelievable catch, the touchdown pass to Plaxico Burress against Hobbs when they went zero coverage. I mean, it was great. And Eli obviously got all the accolades. It's been a quarterback-driven award when you're looking at the Super Bowl MVP. But the biggest reason why the Giants were victorious that day was because of that NASCAR line, because of that pass rush, because Spags in that defensive front. And the best player on the defensive front that day was Tuck.
Well, you make a great point. You got a great memory. Here's the last point I'll leave you with. You talked about college sports. I didn't really catch all of it. I was running. I didn't really catch it, but I caught most of it. The way they, you know, they went from one extreme to the next. The college football player had nothing at one time. They were servants to the system. Now they went so far in the other direction, Mark, that you have a game where these guys are just professional students, student athletes, if you will, and they kind of, you notice how these games aren't as exciting, they don't mean as much, you can't watch them, you mentioned how you couldn't watch them, they're just not as good. They had to find a happy medium, and they were never able to do that, Mark.
No, they've not. I mean, and Ralph, now there's, you know, there's little to no pushback. I mean, the NCAA is was it Izzo? One of the college basketball coaches talking about the fact that maybe it was Calipari. I forget. I mean, one of the guys, you know, big names in college basketball. You know, the NCAA is afraid of getting sued now. I mean, you see the guy that, you know, was playing the summer league for the Knicks is now all of a sudden suiting up for Baylor. I mean, it's become... And I get it. You know, it's now gone to the other level where it's become the Wild Wild West with the transfer portal where guys, I mean, you out of college, I think you had a game the other day between, and I was watching it because I do like watching college football, especially when during the bowl season, when it's on during the afternoon, watching it throughout the course of the year. But you had a game between East Carolina and Pitt. And one of the teams, I think it was East Carolina, was playing their third string quarterback. Because the other guys were gone. I mean, so it's like what you watch the entire year is not exactly what you're getting, you know, during the course of this bowl season. I don't know if you're, you know, I know Neuheisel threw out the idea of having the bowl games before the college football season as kind of, not bids or anything like that, but those neutral site affairs to kind of bring more meaning to these bowl games, because now it has become the college football playoffs. I mean, that is it, and everything else kind of falls off. Scott in the Meadowlands is up next in the fan. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, Moose, what's going on? I haven't talked to you since we both cashed on Sovereignty in the Derby.
Scott, it's been a while.
It has been.
Scott was, when I was doing the Hambo remotes, Scott and I became quick friends when he brought over George Foreman for me to interview. George and his kids and his wife. It was great. It was unbelievable. I still have that picture, Scott, me and Foreman, you in the background.
Yeah, I got the same thing. That was a great, great time. And him and the kids, they were great, too. They couldn't have been more humble around both of us. So.
Oh, awesome. George was great.
Quick thing, you brought up the Eli thing. I just wanted to ask you, in comparison to Ben, do you look at Ben as a first ballot Hall of Famer when you match up both resumes? I mean, this is a debate that's probably been going on forever since they both had the same draft class. And then second, quickly, if you had your choice, if they both do become available for coaches, Harbaugh or Tomlin, who would you take?
Oh, either. I wouldn't really be able to separate the two, where I would say one distinctly more than the other. If either one of them became available, I'd be interested. If you want to make the argument for Tomlin, okay, I don't really have any push against it. If you want to make the argument for Harbaugh, that's fine. I still think both have got incredible drive. I think both would be one that would set a culture and really an accountability for the Giants here moving forward. Either one of those two would work.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit Blue Apron. apron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It really would. Yeah, I don't think there's a lot. I think they're both NFL head coaches. And I think they come in with a resume that is unquestioned. And I think they would set an accountability within the building that would be unquestioned. So either one of them would work. It really would. I couldn't really separate either one of the two. I think Roethlisberger was better in the regular season. I think he's more of an argument for him to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Now, obviously, there were issues with Ben off the field, as we know about. When you look at him as a football player, though, what he was able to do with the Steelers showed you remarkable toughness, made guys around him better, as did Eli. I think they're both Hall of Famers. But I think you'd make a better argument probably for Ben because of what he was in more consistent in the regular season as compared to Eli.
Right. And they both had big defenses around them when they made the playoffs, too, to help them succeed. And they both had those big winning drives. I think a lot of people forget about that drive against the Cardinals, Ben and Holmes. That game, for some reason, seems to get phased out when people talk about these big Super Bowl wins. I don't know why, because it's with Harrison's interception and that pass to Holmes. But, yeah, no, it's good talking to you.
Think about this. What do you think Roethlisberger's, I just looked it up, what do you think Ben's regular season win percentage was?
I'm going to say about 6-10, 6-12.
Close. Something like that. 67%. He won 67% of his regular season games. He was 165, 81, and 1, Scott. And good to hear from you. Happy New Year to you and your family, and always good chatting with you. That's why I think you probably, now you might say, well, you got to take everything into account. Well, I would agree with that. I think they're both Hall of Famers. I mean, I just do. I think there's a better argument, obviously, with Ben than there is with Eli. But, I mean, Eli's going to have his supporters in this area, and they were obviously upset that he didn't get in last year on the first ballot. I do think he's going to get in this year. Chris and Bethpage is up next on The Fan. I'd be surprised if he didn't. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Moose, couple things. I'm a 62-year-old Giant fan, and just to show you how spoiled, and I'm a season ticket holder, just how spoiled I was, you know the first three playoff games I attended at home with the Giants? The Giants won by score of 83-6 combined, 83-6 at home. One against your beloved Redskins,
right,
and the other two were against Joe Montana. So I'm just saying.
Oh, so you were at the Rice fumble game.
Yeah, the Rice fumble game. It's funny. Yeah. We were all up. It happened right in front of me where we sit, and I was like,
on the fly,
oh boy,
pattern,
here we go.
Wide open, catches it, fumbles
right.
It, doesn't get hit. Obviously, that was basically the last blip on the screen for the 49ers that day.
And that was it. All right. And just imagine Joe Montana, who many believe is one or two top all time, what we did to that guy. You know what I mean? Just the Giants, even on the road, we knocked him out for a year and a half. I'm just saying that's how spoiled I was, and I'm 62. And now I've had to deal with the last 10 years, unfortunately. And I try to tell my poor son, who's 23 years old now, like, don't worry. Hopefully one day it'll get better, because I had to go through the 70s of the Giants, and it was brutal. So anyhow, my poor son, he was out in Denver for that game. We went to the Detroit game together on the road, and he was out in the Denver game. And I'm like, you poor kid. I mean, how much abuse can you take? But anyhow, Moose.
Chris, it'll turn. And here's the thing that, you know, for you and your son and for every Giant fan out there, and like, you're still getting the annoying conversation. Like, I wake up this morning, and flip on ESPN, and you get the debate about, is Jackson Dart the future of the New York Giants? I mean, it's just, it doesn't end. Like, the idiocy doesn't end. Yes, the answer to that is yes. And let's find something else to chat about. Here's the thing that'll keep you kind of warm and cozy. I understand it's going to be a cold Christmas Eve tonight as we ring in 2026. Better days are ahead. And better days, you have the quarterback. And it's great that he's found a new girlfriend. That's fantastic. But you have a quarterback, and yeah, no doubt. And he's a good looking guy, right? And yeah, you know, the world is his oyster. You have a quarterback that is going to prove to be a big time solution for the Giants for years to come.
Moose, you're 100% right. And I've been saying that too. And I will say this, in all the years, literally I've been watching the Giants 57 years now. So this is the most, as the only, three wins or whatever, but this is the most fun. I look forward to watching Jackson Dart get on the field. I actually look forward to that. And as much as I love Eli, don't get me wrong, game in, game out, it wasn't like, oh, Eli's this. I go, Jackson Dart just brings something that I've never seen before from a Giant quarterback. And another thing, too, is they love him. Scatterboo loves him. They play for this guy. And wait till Malik Nabers gets back. You know what I'm saying? That's another thing. Everything's overlooked about, we got to tank,
well,
we got to do this and that. Yeah,
it's tough. It's tough because, Chris, as you know, I mean, it's been, you know, you've suffered a lot of losing and you're tired of it. And Giant fan is frustrated. And it's a proud fan base. It's a proud organization. and you want to get back to winning days and relevant games and playing relevant football week 16, week 17, week 18 of the NFL regular season, where you have games of meaning, where your game is being flexed into the Sunday night game because of the importance, because the Giants become appointment TV, not becoming appointment TV because you're rooting for your team to lose, and not being despondent because they knock off the Colts a year ago or they beat the Raiders this past Sunday because all of a sudden it affects their draft position in the NFL draft. Those are the conversations that have become all too consistent that need to go away. And I think they will. Now, you got the quarterback. Now, the big thing is, as we've touched upon, you're going to find the right head coach that's going to put it all together. And obviously some improvements with the roster. Five of new. Malusis with you. It's a Wednesday New Year's Eve edition. Mark Malusis with you. 888-808-1019.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.